July 2nd, 1961, God Save My Never Dying Soul. And I just, I wish I could find, you know, I wish I was like R.G. Lee or Dolphus Price or some of those great preachers who had a great vocabulary to be able to just express how wonderful it is and how wonderful He is. What think ye of Christ? What do you think about Him? What does He mean to you? I never did think much about Him. Never did think much about Him until July 2nd, 1961. Now He fills my life. He fills my life. I'm thankful for Him tonight because He not only saved me, but He forgave me of all my sins. And you know, sometimes we say that and sometimes a little bit trite. We ought to really stop and think about what He's done for us. Man, He washed our sins away. They're gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Thank God He's forgiven me. Thank God He forgives me too. Amen. I wish I could be perfect like Him, but there's nobody like Him. Amen. But I thank God He forgives me. I thank God for His goodness to me. I thank God that He not only saved me, but He changed my life. I wasn't worth shooting before I got saved. I'm not much better now. But I want to tell you something. Boy, God just changed my whole life. Took the vulgarity out of my voice and my heart and changed my heart, changed my vocabulary, changed my desires, changed everything about me. Jesus did that. There's nobody like Him. Nobody like Him. And thank God He saved my wife and gave me a wonderful Christian wife. Maybe the best Christian woman I know. Boy, isn't it wonderful? You ought to thank God you've got a Christian family. The reason you do is because of Jesus. Jesus gave you that Christian wife. You kids, you ought to thank God you have Christian moms and dads because God gave that to you.
That's right.
You could have been raised by some old drunk out here, some harlot out here. You could have lived, you could have been living on the streets.
That's right.
You don't want God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody like Him. I tell you what, man. Oh, my. He's the frosting on the cake. Amen. Tell you, I thank God for Him. He's my Savior. He loves me. I you know what? I honestly haven't gotten over the fact that God loves me.
Yes.
I mean, He loves me.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, I was preaching a revival in a church up in mid part of Pennsylvania, and Marty Vaughn, who had been my assistant, called to preach on my ministry back in Michigan, who is now the vice president of Northland Baptist College. He was doing a home section before, and on a home, half hour in home. Then I'd come back and preach on revival. After the service, there was a lady there named Martha, and she wanted to see Marty and talk to him because her husband had put her out of the house, and she moved to an apartment in New York, and she hadn't moved back to Pennsylvania. And so she was really broken about it and wanted to talk to her. And he got talking to somebody at the altar and never did get away from there for a long time. So finally the priest said, "Why don't you talk to Dr. Schindler?" She said, "All right." So I went up in the office or in a classroom up, sat across the table from her. She began to tell me how that her and her husband were in the military, and he was stationed on the naval base in Guantanamo Bay, and they'd both gotten saved, got into a good church there and serving the Lord, and then he got away from God and got back to drinking and everything, and they had a lot of trouble, and finally when he got out of service, he just kicked her out, and he told her, "I'm done with you," and he went to New York, got an apartment, and she went back to home. She was one of nine children. And she began to talk about her husband and everything. And I don't even know what possessed me to say it. But I said to her, I said, "How long have you been bitter and hated your father?" And I don't know why I said that. I really don't know why I said that. And she says, "How dare you say that? How can you say that?" She started crying. She says, "I can't believe you said that. What reason would you say that?" I said, "Oh my goodness, what did I do?" Then I thought, seems she protests too loudly.
Yeah.
And about that time, Marty came in, and I explained what happened. He sat down where I said, and I moved over, and he looked at her. And I told her all about what happened about her father and what I said. And he looked across the table at her, and he said, "Martha, let me ask you a question." I said, "Who does God love?" She says, "Well, the world." I said, "Who does God love?" "Well, people, the world. Who does God love?" Sinners, the world. "What do you want me to say?" "Who does God love?" She said, "The world, sinners." She said, "Who does God love?" "You're trying to get me to say me. God doesn't love me." "Oh, yes, He does. He does love her. She is saved, but she didn't recognize that God loved her." "Well, I can't believe that God loves me." Oh, if you knew me like God knows, aren't you glad I don't know you like God knows you? I'm glad you don't know me like God knows me. And God loves me in spite of me. He loves me no matter what. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. He answers my prayers. Thank God for that. Boy, it's wonderful when he pray. And he comforts me when I'm in trouble. He strengthens me when I'm weak. And he understands my heart. He understands everything about me. You know, the Romans, it says when we pray, we don't always know what to pray. But that groaning inside, he understands everything about it. He does. He knows. The Bible says he knows our thoughts afar off. The Bible says he knows us and thinks about us more than the sand of the sea. Yes. Can you imagine that? Boy, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Right. He loves us. Thank God for the Savior, how he loves me. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's kind. He fills my life with good things. And he's introduced me to some of the most wonderful people in the world, God's people. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nobody like him.
Yes.
Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He blesses me. He saved my loved ones. He blesses me and allows me to serve him.
Yes.
What a privilege it is to serve Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. What a wonderful thing that God just touches your heart. Says, I want you to teach my word. I want you to get a bus ride and go out and pick up one of the little boys and girls up and tell them about me. Isn't it a wonderful thing to sing in a choir and play music and to sing for Jesus, clean the church? Isn't it a wonderful thing to serve God? Oh, what a wonderful life that God's given. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him.
Amen.
Thank God for him. He lifts my burdens. Did you ever get your burdens lifted by Jesus? Man, I've been driven sometimes like a wild animal to prayer, and I get on my knees and so distraught, my soul needing help so much, I begin to pray and read his Bible, read the Word of God. No! He begins to minister to my heart. And he sees my tears. The Bible says he puts them in a bottle. Ooh, when I get to heaven, there will be gallons of it. No, I've been praying. My heart would be so heavy. Have you ever prayed your heart be down in your gut somewhere, and your heart's so heavy, and you pray, and you weep, and pretty soon, here he comes, and he comes down and begins to minister, and the Word of God becomes alive, and pretty soon you see the hope in Jesus Christ. He begins to minister. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. He sees your tears. He lifts your burdens. He leads you by his Spirit. He opens the truth of the Word of God. He helps me when people hurt me. Did you ever get hurt?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, really hurt. Did you ever have anybody betray you? Oh, it hurts. Boy, sometimes your knees buckle. And oh, your heart hurts inside. And you say, why, oh God? And Jesus says, remember what they did to me?
Yes.
Oh, and you remember what they did. You look to the Savior. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him.
Hey.
Nobody. Nobody like him, folks. He helps me. When I feel like I'm unloved, he feels my pain. He sustains my life. He strengthens my marriage. He's the provider of all things. He supplies me strength when I'm weak. He supplies my every need. Boy, thank God for him. I just thank God for the Lord Jesus and how good he's been to me. There's nobody like him. The world out here is looking for something, and I tell you where it is, it's found in Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Jesus Christ never changes, Brother Bob, never changes. People change, governments change, leaders change, politicians change, and people sometimes believe God changes, but God never changes. He's immutable. He's the same today, he's yesterday, today, and forever. He is Jesus. He never changes. Thank God he never changes. Thank God that Bible tells us all about it. It's over 2,000 years and more old. And yet you can read it and know that he never changed. He's still the same. There's nobody like him.
Amen.
Nobody like him. All that God is, he's always been. And all that he has been, he always will be. There's nobody like him. He cannot change. He never gets bored. He never gets lonely. He never gets frustrated. He never gets weary. He never gets upset.
Amen.
There ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like him. Ah, and since He is infinitely holy. He can't get less holy.
Amen.
And he cannot change for the worse. There's no deterioration in him. He stays the same incorruptible God. He exists for all, always. He is always the same. He does not gain or lose power. He doesn't grow older or more mature. He is not getting any wiser because he's all wise. He can't get weaker because he's all powerful. He can't get stronger because he's as powerful as he can be. Thank God for him. There's nobody like him. He cannot change for the better because he's perfect. He has nothing at all to learn because he knows all things. He never forgets anything but our sin. Nor does he have to try to remember anything. He's God. There ain't nobody like him. Nobody like him. Ain't nobody like him, folks. Nobody like him. You don't have to wonder if he's in a good mood or not. You never have to throw the hat in the church and wonder if he comes back out. You may go home, find out, throw the hat and see the wife throws it back. But you have to do that with God. Amen. He never changes, y'all. He never is moody. He's not ill. He's not sick. He's not decrepit. He's not dying. He doesn't keep office hours. Wouldn't it be terrible if he kept office hours and there were periods of time you couldn't get a hold of him? By the time you needed him, you couldn't get him. That'd be terrible. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Today, this very moment, he feels the same about the lost. He feels the same about the sick and the fallen and the maimed. He feels the same. He never changes in his affections for me. We work in our human relationship to keep the affection level high. We work at it. God doesn't have to work at it. He loves us. He loves us. In fact, he is love. You don't have to. He doesn't have to work at it. Say, man, I'll tell you something, preaching or not much. I'm going to have to work at loving him. Oh, no. He loves me. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like him. Not good English, but there ain't nobody like him. His attitude towards me is still the same and always be the same. I don't have to worry whether he's going to get mad at tomorrow. He always has said, come unto me, all you have are laid, and I'll give you rest. He's never changed that. You still can come to him. He's never become less truthful. He's never become less merciful. He's never become less just. He's never become less good. He's never become less faithful. He is a consistent God, and he loves with a consistent love forever and ever and ever. Yes. Ain't nobody like him. Brother Jerry, nobody like him.
Amen.
Nobody like him.
Right.
He never loses his temper. Never. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
I've tried him enough. I wondered. There's nobody like him. It is he who will sift the energy of the people at judgment time. It is he who will silence the devil and his courts. It is he who will stamp out sickness and wickedness, and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. He'll sit in the white throne judgment and be merciful only because of the fact that his wrath has already been taken care of on the cross of Calvary, and people will be judged fairly. He's a wonderful God. Nobody like him. He's strong enough to rule the world, small enough to live in my heart. He's big enough to move mountains, but not big enough, but not too big to lift my burdens. He is great enough to love a nation, but tender enough to love me. He is powerful enough to smite armies, but kind enough to help me. So nobody like him. I've never had to go to him that I found that he wouldn't take time for me. I've never gone to God. Is this thing on? Am I supposed to turn this on? David? Hello. There we go. I didn't have it on all this time. Sorry about that, David. I can't tell you how wonderful he can be. Sometimes at the darkest hour of your life. I found him one time when I needed him the most. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed, and I don't know if you've ever had something happen to you and were victim of circumstances. I did. And I found myself walking alongside of a riverbank here in River Park down in Lower Michigan. There was a path that went back alongside of a riverbank. Then you go back into the woods, Brother Bob, about a mile. And I'd go over there about 6 days a week, sometimes an hour, most of the time 2 or 3 hours, and sometimes minutes 5 or 6. 5 and 6 days a week for almost 5 years. Say, what was wrong, preacher? The circumstances had so beleaguered my strength and it so devastated my confidence in me, and it had so destroyed me inside that I was hanging on the very thread of my life spiritually. And I'd walk in that, along that creek bed, our river bed, and I'd walk along in there, and I was there when the spring and the flowers were blooming and the birds were singing. And I watched as I walked through day by day as the leaves sprouted out and made this canopy, and I'd walk down way back in the woods all by myself, and I'd get me a walking stick and I'd walk and I'd cry and I'd pray. I said, dear God, I need your help. Dear Lord Jesus, you got to help me. I just need you so bad. I just feel like I want to die. Dear Lord Jesus, and I'd walk and pray, and I'd stand and wave and everything. One time I was praying and weeping, had my hands up to heaven. I had that stick in my hand like that, walking stick, and I caught a little movement on my left. And I never saw anybody back there, but I looked over. Honestly, there was a guy, he must have been 6'3", must have weighed 250 pounds in bibbed overalls and a big old red beard. I mean, I thought it was a grizzly bear. I really did. I went, oh, he went, oh, like that. He turned around and started off almost running. I said, I know, I let him go, man. He thought I was crazy. And So I just kept walking, kept praying day after day after day after day after day after day, and weep before the Lord. And I'm telling you, Jesus would come. And I'd sit down underneath an old canopy and a picnic table, and I'd get a piece of paper out, and I'd begin to write. And I wrote poems, and I wrote a diary of what was going on in my life. And I'd mingle my tears on the page, and I'd weep, and I'd say, God, you've got to help me. God, I don't know if I can live through this. I don't know if I can make it. God, you've got to help me. And I'd weep and pray, and the Lord would come. There's nobody like him, Brother Bob. There's nobody like him. But when you need him, he's always there. Nobody like him. He made the world, and yet he ate at Zacchaeus' house. He calls the stars by name, yet is interested in the blind. He set the planets in orbit, but he's concerned about the woman at the well. He stood at the eternity shore and made time, and yet he's concerned about your arthritis. No fellowship with God the Father. Yet pauses. He fellowship with God the Father, and yet he pauses for prayer. He created heavens and earth, yet he sees the sparrow fall. Nobody like him. Nobody like him, folks. He's a wonderful Savior. And everything you need, he has. And he is sufficient. And he wants to know you, and he wants to love you, and he wants to walk with you. He wants to wipe your tears away. He wants to lift your burdens. He wants to put a song in your heart. And he's the only one can do it, because there's nobody like him. Amen. Nobody like him. He's in full control. He's God. He's your Savior. He loves you. He is passionately in love with you. He's greatly concerned about you. Everything about your life. He's concerned about your children, your grandchildren. He's concerned about your loved ones. He's concerned about your health. He's concerned about you young people and what you're going to do with your life. He has a plan for your life. He's concerned about it because he loves you. You need to serve him because there's nobody else like him. Nobody else like him. There's no problem so big that God can't solve it. There's no problem that Jesus and God won't answer. There are no burdens so heavy that he cannot bear them, and there's no burden so small he won't bear it. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. He'll be there. He'll always be there. He'll always be there. He never leaves us. You never have to worry about whether he's gone or not. He's there and he knows. He knows everything in our heart and life. There's nobody like him. He's there when you need salvation. He's there when you need a friend. Earthly friends can only go so far with you. I always get a tickle out of, you know, young girls, especially 12, 13, 14. They always get a bosom buddy, like Anna Green Gables, whatever her name is. What's her name? What is it? Anna, what? Is that, am I saying it right? Anna of Green Gables? Yeah. Bosom buddy, you know, two little girls just giggling and so on, that, dyeing their hair green, or what do they do? And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have a friend in this life who you can talk with and you can share with, and you can bear your burdens, and you can get some help and encouragement. It's wonderful to be a friend. But I want to tell you something. There's somebody that's a friend that really is a friend, and he knows exactly what's going on in your life. When you can't explain it, he still knows it. When you need a friend, he's there. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. When you need help, encourage. Do you ever lose courage? You know how you know when you lose courage? You know what the word discourage means? Discourage means to be able to have a loss of courage. Do you ever just want to throw in the towel and quit? Do you ever want to do that? Do you want to just kick the cat, slap your mother-in-law, and get in the car and drive away and never come back? My mother-in-law was a wonderful Christian. She really was. She really was. I wish she was here, but she went to heaven. She died of Alzheimer's here just a few years ago. And she was always fun to be with. She loved me, and she picked on me all the time. I don't know why. I never picked on her much. I called her one day. I said, Mom, I got you a job. She said, what do you mean I got you a job? She said, what are you talking about? I said, I got you a job in a broom factory as a test pilot. My wife says, you never say anything nice about my family. I said, I did too. I told you your mother-in-law was nicer than my mother-in-law. Well, I will tell you something more. When you need a friend, ain't nobody like Jesus. There ain't nobody like Jesus. You can't always find somebody to go out for a walk at 3 o'clock in the morning and weep before and talk to. But you can find Jesus there. Yeah, when your heart's broken and you don't know what to do and you've lost your courage and strength and you just want to quit and throw in the towel, there's always Jesus. He's always there. And when you have some tremendous need in your life, just some need, you just need strength and help. You just need somebody. You just need. You don't even know how to form the words. I got news for you. He knows exactly what you're talking about. He knows exactly what you're talking about. And nobody like him. Nobody like him. Nobody like Jesus, folks. Nobody like him. When you in your hour of sorrow, greatest sorrow of my life, I guess, first is when my father died. And I was sitting on the bench out in the backyard, and I was weeping. My father just died. I just fell on my knees, fell on his face. He was down on the kitchen floor and they're working out. We got on my knees beside him. I said, God, don't let my daddy die. Don't let me save. Don't let my daddy die. And that guy turned and said, I'm sorry. Shook his head. He's gone. Man, it just seemed like half my life fell off. Hell, I just felt like I just cut in half. And I went and sat down at the picnic table. And I sat there and I just wept and wept. And I said, God, I need your help. My pastor come and put his arm around me and he prayed with me. And I said, dear Jesus, I need help. And you know what Jesus did? He come and helped me. He come and helped me. He come and touched me. He come and give me grace. See, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him, folks. Nobody. And your hour of sorrow, when you go through the trial of life and you don't know what to do, he'll be there. When the world comes crashing down, when the devil attacks, no, my soul, when life begins to turn dark and dreary, he comes and he brings his word, and it's like a light under his path, and he comes down into your situation, and he hugs you, and he leads you out of that valley and up onto the mountaintop again. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. We need to remember
The Bible says in Isaiah 51:1, says, remember the pit. He said, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. And put a song in my heart, a new song in my mouth, to ever praise unto our God. Man, he took me out of the pit, set me on the side of the rock, put a song in my heart. Man, I'm a good singer in here. I can sing, man. You ought to hear me sing. There's something in my throat, dog. I got to see a doctor or something. He comes right there and he gets stuck or something. It comes out. It sounds terrible. But I tell you, Jesus lives down below that. He lives down here in my soul. So he knows and he likes it. He's the only one that really likes my singing. Yeah? And you're going to like it when you get to heaven, because when I get to heaven, I'm going to be a singer, because God knew I'd sing if I could sing, so he wrote me down as a singer. When you get to heaven, you girls have to sit down and listen to me. That's right. You just got to sit down and listen to me for about 10,000 years. I know all the songs, and I'm going to hit every pitch just right. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, nobody like him. And I remember, listen to me, I remember what God did for me. God says, Abraham, remember where I found you in a heathen land? Jacob, remember where I found you in Laban's home and brought you back home? Joseph, remember where I found you in the pit, put you in a palace? Israel, remember I found you in bondage in Egypt? Remember Moses, where I found you in the backside of the desert? Remember David, where I found you and you were rejected of your family tending sheep? You remember? Remember Matthew, where I found you in the tax collector's booth? Remember Paul, where I found you in the road, religious and lost? Remember Lot? Remember Saul? Remember Samuel? Remember Gehazi? Remember where I found you? Remember Fred Schindler, where I found you? Little froggy Fred? Freddy Frog Eyes? Little old skinny kid had no friends. We'd choose up teams in the neighborhood play ball. You know, they'd argue, they'd choose him. Got to me, I was the last one. He said, you can have him. I said, no, you can have him. Nobody wanted me. Huh? But Jesus did. Huh? He said, Fred, don't remember where I found you. I found you, don't forget. Remember, no, listen to me. You never remember where God found you? You remember where he found you? Remember he might have found you in that wrecked home, in that hospital bed? Maybe he found you in a divorce court. Maybe he found you staggering home drunk. He found you living in sin. He found you in rebellion and immorality. He found you pacing the floor, nervous and worried and eaten by guilt. You remember that? Remember how he came? Remember how he came? Remember how he came in conviction and love and mercy and tenderness and kindness and forgave you? Remember that? Remember? There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. God's powerful. One day he flexed his muscles and the flood came. Another time he spoke and with the blast of his nostrils opened the Red Sea. He spoke one time and the sun stood still. And Jericho walls fell, trembling at his voice. And fire fell for Elijah. And Elijah was fed over there at the brook Cherith. He moved nations, sent famines, and healed the land. I remember. I remember when he came into my life. We better thank him. I remember 1974 and 75 when the recession hit. When we was lining up at the gas tanks, gas pumps, every other day, getting gas only on our odd or even number of our plate. Dr. Tom Malone called me. He said, Brother Fred, he said, the deacons met last night. He said, offerings went from $12,000 a week to $6,000 a week, and the deacons decided to blame the recession on me. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that. Yeah. But I want to tell you, Sam, I have somebody that I can look to that's beyond the government. I got somebody who fed Elijah at the brook. I got somebody who took the widow of Zarephath. And you know what? That barrel never run out. You know why? Because here's what Jesus, this is what Jesus hears. Scraping at the bottom of the barrel. And it never would run out. Never run out. They ate every day in the middle of a famine. Why? There's nobody like him. Yeah, we better remember. We better think about him. I remember when our little daughter Holly was so sick. She's just a little tyke, just barely walking, and she got a 106.4 temperature. I just, young Christian, just a baby Christian. I said, what are we going to do? You know, I guess what I thought Christian was supposed to do. I got on my knees and put my hands on my daughter and said, God, Jesus, please touch my daughter. She's so sick. Please heal her. You know what happened? She got up off my wife's lap and got down and started playing. Fever gone. Yeah. Woo-wee. So I'm going around laying hands on her. But no. I'll see you. Line starts over here after services. Oh, no. You know who did that? Jesus did that. Why? Because Jesus loved my little daughter and Jesus loved me. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. I remember when times got tough. God took care of us. Holly was sick. I remember when some of the ladies, not true, I remember Karen Steele got sick. Karen and Chuck Steele were the folks that got us going to church the morning I got saved. And they've been our friends now since way back 1961. Karen got sick. I was really sick. She ended up in the hospital. They all would give up on her. She's just laying in bed like that, hour after hour. And I began to weep, and Chuck weeped and said, dear Jesus, please help Karen, please touch her. We began to pray, and God turned that thing around. In just a few days, she got out of that hospital. See, there's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. And he could do that again and again and again and again and again. See, he'll still flex his muscles. He'll still heal our land. He'll heal our illnesses. He'll remove those barriers. He'll lift those burdens. He'll heal your marriage. He'll answer your prayers. He'll meet your needs because there's nobody like him. We ought to love him and adore him and worship him and follow him and make him the Lord of our life because there ain't nobody like him. You go and get the old stinking world and what the devil has. You go ahead. I'm going to stick with Jesus. There ain't nobody out here like him. There ain't nobody. Do you love him supremely tonight? Do you love him supremely tonight? Do you love him supremely tonight? Will you tell him so? Will you give him your life? He's been merciful. He loved you. He died for you. Romans 12:1-2, you heard me say it. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's God's word. The word beseech means beg. You know what it is? God on his knees. He said, I loved you. I loved you and I gave my son to die for you. He died on the cross for you. Won't you give me your life? Won't you surrender to me? I had mercy on you. Won't you follow Jesus? There's nobody like him. Won't you live for him? Won't you make him Lord? Won't you do it?